give us this day is a devotional reflection upon the New Testament lesson appointed for the morning office from the Book of Common Prayer 1928. These devotionals are written and presented by Father Charles Erlinson, who serves at the Church of the Good Shepherd in Tyler, Texas. Father Charles' devotionals can be found both in print and online.
Today is Monday of the fifth Sunday after Easter. The lesson is taken from Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 15.
And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.
I love antiques and artifacts. I love going to museums and experiencing their artifacts. I feel tangibly closer to dinosaurs or mummies, to Van Gogh or Van Eyck, when in a museum. I love old books and how they smell, and their sturdy or crumpling yellow pages, and the fact that they connect me with the truth and lives of the past that are still meaningful today. And so I read with fascination the archaeological discoveries of the Holy Land. Not too long ago, an archaeologist thought that he and his team had discovered Herod's temple. Several years ago, someone believed they discovered one small object from Solomon's temple, and not too long ago, the ossuary, that is, the box to hold bones of St. James, was found, although probably not. But look what I discovered today. It's an artifact that's been lying around for you and me to discover every day, and it's one of the most priceless artifacts of all, the Lord's Prayer. Forget about the Ark of the Covenant or the Holy Grail, which we'd probably make into an idol anyway. They're both dead objects. But in the Lord's Prayer, we have something very living and active and powerful, full of more power and glory than streamed from the Ark of the Covenant in the Indiana Jones movies. When you pray this, the prayer of the Lord, you are standing on hallowed ground. You have come to the prayer that the saints have prayed for 2,000 years, and which saints across the earth are all busy praying this very day, indeed this very moment. The Lord's Prayer is holy, not just because the Lord gave it to us, saying, take, do this, but also because it is the prayer that he himself first prayed and hallowed before he gave it to us. More than just praying it, he lived it, and in the Lord's Prayer we should therefore see Jesus Christ himself. Do you realize that if you pray the Lord's Prayer once a day for 50 years, you will have prayed it 18,262 times? How can you make the most of a prayer that you pray that often? How can you keep it from becoming old? One way is to pray it in depth, so that you'll have something to remember next time, and so that you can spend a life growing in the Lord with his prayer. Let's look at how we might pray the prayer of the Lord with the Lord, that we might receive his blessing. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. In praying to our Father, we come in prayer remembering who it is that we are coming before. In praying our Father, we claim our right to come before Almighty God as we come before a Father. And yet it is only because of Jesus Christ, the true Son, that we have this incalculable right. The Son makes us sons too. He calls us his brother, and has turned us from slaves and sinners into sons who are now heirs of God's riches. Because of the Son, we now come to our loving Father, who is the one who created us and cares for us and comforts us and protects us and blesses us. We are to come like little children before him, like the Son himself, full of faith and humility. But we have a problem in coming before the Father. He is in heaven, and we are on earth. He is as far above us as the heavens are above the earth, but Jesus came from heaven to earth as one of us, and he ascended from earth to heaven for us. And now, as the writer of Hebrews made clear, Jesus is in heaven for us. In praying, who art in heaven, we are asking to be brought into heaven, the throne of grace through Jesus Christ. We must come in utter humility, not demanding, but begging like the prodigal son for what we have no right to. When we pray, "Hallowed be thy name," we have another problem. This Father of ours is holy, and we are unholy sinners. God is a holy consuming fire, so much that when Uzzah reached out to try and steady the Ark of the Covenant, which was being carried on a cart and was about to fall, God killed him, because he dared to touch something holy that God said he could not touch. But Jesus Christ kept the name of the Father holy by perfectly obeying him. By his obedience and his holiness, we can come into the presence of the Father. And like Jesus, every time we obey the Father, we hallow his name. But every time we disobey him, we desecrate his name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Now that we are allowed to enter into God's presence because of Jesus Christ, the heavenly Holy Son, we ask for the things that Jesus Christ the Son asked for while on earth, and what he now asks for in heaven at the right hand of God. What a privilege to say and to pray the same things that our Holy Lord did. He prays and we pray with him, that his kingdom would come. We know from both his testimony and John the Baptist's that the kingdom of God is already here. The kingdom of heaven is already here. We know it's here because the King is here, and in fact is ruling from heaven. And yet because we are sorrowfully aware that it is not here fully, and we groan as a result, we pray for the kingdom of his kingdom to come fully to all. How does God's kingdom come? A king's domain is as large an area as he is able to maintain control over. God's kingdom, his rule, is therefore present whenever he is obeyed, whenever his will is done. Obedience to the will of the Father is the essence of prayer and our lives in his kingdom. By obedience, the kingdom of heaven is manifested. By the Son's perfect obedience in becoming man in suffering for us, and by dying as our sacrifice, he made it possible for us also to do the will of the Father. Every time you obey, God's kingdom advances a little. Every time you disobey, his kingdom retreats a little. How did Jesus obey the will of the Father in heaven when he was on earth? And how does he obey the will of the Father now that he is in heaven in his glorified humanity? Perfectly. That is, immediately, completely, and joyfully. And so we pray with the Son and through the Son that we might do the will of the Father just as perfectly here on earth. Give us this day our daily bread. But where shall we ever find the strength to obey, to show God's kingdom and hallow God's name? By asking for and receiving our daily bread. How did Jesus Christ find strength to do the will of the Father? By praying to the Father. The one who said, "My food is to do the will of the Father," therefore becomes our daily bread. And so when we pray for our daily bread, we're not just praying for our physical food, which we should, we are also praying for Jesus himself, the bread that comes down from heaven. He is your strength to obey the will of the Father. He is your food, and your food is to obey the Father with and through him. He is with us in every part of your life, in joys and in sufferings. Every part of the day, therefore, is your daily bread, if you receive it with thanksgiving and with Christ. Your daily bread, then, is your life. Breakfast, the morning paper, that is, the morning internet these days, the morning cell phone, work, chores, errands, recreation, relationships. It's all your daily bread. If you live it with Jesus Christ and see it as an occasion to turn to Jesus and feed off him. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. But we have a hard time eating our daily bread and obeying the will of the Father. We don't truly want to come to him, but want to do our will, which is known as sin. But Jesus obeyed the Father for us, and now we can come to God. Through him, we have the right to confess our sins and ask forgiveness. Jesus died to forgive us all, even though he had never sinned, and the Father forgives us only because of his obedience and sacrifice. Therefore, after feeding off Jesus and receiving his forgiveness, we are to be like God, forgiving those who sin against us. To truly receive God's gift of forgiveness, you must give it, becoming like him. This is one way of eating your daily bread. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. A second way of eating your daily bread is to turn to Jesus in times of trouble. When we pray, "And lead us not into temptation," we are praying not so much that God won't tempt us, but that he will keep us safe from tribulation, which is probably a better translation of the Greek word in this context. Regardless of the kind of tribulation, even temptation, we are to turn to Jesus Christ to deliver us. He is the one who led us out of the wilderness of sin into the promised land, for he is the true Joshua, leading his people in the true Exodus. We ask as well that we should be delivered from evil, knowing that Jesus defeated every kind of evil, temptation, sin, the world, the flesh, and the devil. One way of translating this prayer is deliver us from the evil one. And Jesus knows just how to do that, having defeated Satan not only in the wilderness of temptation, but also at the cross. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. In following Jesus in all things, in praying his prayer with him, which also means living it with him, we proclaim the kingdom and the power and the glory of the Father. But something even more miraculous happens if we faithfully pray and live with Jesus. He allows us to share in his kingdom and power and glory. Every time you obey, you are showing that you live under the rule of the King, and you manifest his kingdom. By receiving this same Holy Spirit that came upon Jesus at his baptism and seeking his grace in all the ways he offers it, we receive his power to obey the Father and the power to make God known to others. And as we are made partakers of Jesus Christ through prayer and faith and obedience, he shares the riches of his glory with us. To pray the Lord's Prayer, therefore, is to be drawn into the life and kingdom of Christ himself. It is to follow him in all things. It is not only to pray the prayer that he gave us, but also to pray the prayer that he prayed and lived. I think it's even possible that this prayer, the prayer of the Lord's, was the very prayer he made holy by praying it in the wilderness when tempted by Satan, and in the Garden of Gethsemane when tempted to avoid the cross. So pray it faithfully with him every day, and it will lead you to him, so that you can more faithfully follow him. And where he leads you is to the cross, to self-denial, to the forsaking of sins, and to perfect obedience to the will of the Father. But where he leads you is also to the Father, where you will find the kingdom, the power, and the glory.
This has been a presentation of Always with Christ Radio in the Anglican Way.